Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, it is the build-up show. Liverpool back in Champions League action. Is the round of 16, it is the second leg, and we carry a two goal aggregate lead into this game, which is something which should help.
If a 2-0 head start.
Yeah, 2-0 head start. Defo, good thing. Ben Kelly's with me in the studio. Callum Sanderson and Sam Walker join us from home as well for this one. And look, I mean, first and foremost, let's get out the way, Ben. It's our home game, but we're not at home.
Hey.
Yes! Yes! I never thought I would be in a world where I felt that Liverpool had a better chance of progressing in the Champions League by not being at Anfield, but welcome to our world.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I suppose, just keeping everything the same as last time. You can't go far wrong, I suppose. You know, hopefully we just have the exact same routine, except a day later on in the week. So I hope we just fly at the same time out, do the same training at the same time, do all that with the hope. You know, you and Chris have spoken loads of time, haven't you, about just being superstitious and having rituals. Hopefully that Klopp's just like, you know, no, you had the steak the last time we were here, so that's what you're going to eat for dinner this time. And hopefully it's just kept to the same regime, yeah. And hopefully it ends up being the same.
They're doing a check, like they're doing like a boxies check. Everyone got the lucky undies on.
Yeah.
Everyone's stepping in exactly the same steps that they did when they got off. Yeah, everyone's sitting next to the same person and blah, blah, blah. Look, I mean, again, but this is where we're at, isn't it, Callum? We're just on the final word. Show this is where we're at with Liverpool right now. There's no point in being sort of angry about it. There's no sort of point in being down in the dumps. And I'm not saying any of that means that I am super confident that we'll get the business done here. But we've got no choice in this. We are 90 minutes away from getting a place in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. It's one game of footy. It is, you know, it will not be at Anfield and all these things. And you have to believe that having rotated the sides, you know, we should have a few more options hopefully available. And yeah, it's one game of footy. Hopefully we can engineer something here.
Yeah, I hope the players approach it that way as well. And I know it's not easy to just switch on and off the form for the Premier League and building momentum and stuff, but I do hope they kind of see it as a way to relieve a bit of stress and pressure, because we are in a commanding position in the tie. We're out of the other domestic cups. We've still got a chance in this one, and let's be honest, if there's any trophy we can win, it's a Champions League when you're associated with Liverpool. Now granted, this has been a season like no other, but we are in a good position. You look at some of the other teams in and around Europe, apart from like your Bayern Munich, Man City's, the other teams can be beaten, and we can beat those teams on our day. But it's about going out and making sure we actually finish the job. If we don't finish the job, then we'll be out. So we have
number two, isn't it? And that's the point Jürgen was making, Sam, the other week. Is like, you know, if we're not good enough to get in the Champions League by the league, we're not good enough. And if we're not good enough to get past Leipzig with the two goal advantage, then we don't deserve to be in the next round, and so on. And you just keep having to reaffirm them as you go on week in, week out. I mean, the hope here with this is that it's just Europe and it's just different. You know, we were having a little bit of a chat in the WhatsApp group. Like, people have been asking, why haven't Liverpool made a wholesale change? Because I was thinking about, like, what Thomas Tuchel's done at Chelsea. So he's got decent players and he's just come in and he's changed the message and he's gotten everyone to buy into a new philosophy. And that you know, and that's the one thing where you change the manager and you get that. So, you know, you don't necessarily get the best version of your team anymore, but you get something to start from scratch with. And I wonder whether the reason we've not seen Liverpool make any mad change is because I think we still feel that our best chance of winning the Champions League is to keep with the style of play that we have, which sounds a bit, maybe sounds a bit naive and stupid given that we've not been winning loads of football matches regardless. But I do have this feeling it's sort of Champions League or nothing. And if we don't make it through this round, I think we will see a radical change to what we're doing. But until that point happens, we could make a change, we could go to an ultra defensive thing, but we'll be sacrificing the Champions League. And while we've still got that chance, I think we'll stick with it.
Yeah, I mean, the philosophy of the club seems to be consistent throughout as well. So while the kids are playing, they come into what they know, if that makes sense. So that's kind of to go with your argument there as well, as opposed to, it's not totally different in the unders. But there's a fundamental difference in European football as well, isn't it? The Premier League is the league of, we're all really good at playing compact football on the counter-attack. Literally 18 teams, maybe 19, you know, if Liverpool aren't at it back in the day. But European football is about expression and the way they play the game. You know, look at Red Bull. We made them look a bit daft, really, in that game. And they were top of the league until, you know, Bayern pulled off in Istanbul on Saturday night. So I think it suits us if we can get through this phase. You know, the way they play will allow Liverpool to be a bit more creative and allow Liverpool to counter-attack, which is what we do best. So I completely agree with that sort of move that Klopp's pulling. Just to stick with it and do what we do best.
It'd be interesting to see how Leipzig approach it, because you know, Sam mentions it there. They've won all four games since they played us last, scored 11, conceded two. They're just 2 points behind Bayern Munich at the top of the Bundesliga. They looked a little naive when they played us. Now, but I do wonder whether they do stick with that. You know, because they are, Leipzig aren't Bayern Munich. Like, I don't think Bayern Munich ever changed their style of play. You know, they're not going to come against us and go, well, actually, this is the best way to beat Liverpool. We're going to put loads of men behind the ball and play balls into channels. I don't think they would. Leipzig might. But the hope is that they won't. That they'll still think this is a good opportunity for us to go and play our style, play the way we play, and get a win against Liverpool.
I agree, and I do think that I don't think they'll be as bad as they were in the first. Like, again, I came away from the first like quite underwhelmed and about everybody else, and I was thinking, boy, are they the second best team that Germany's got to offer right now? Like, I was a little bit like, man, like, that's the quality of the league. But overall, you know, like, thinking about their performances against Manchester United, particularly the home leg, obviously they've given Bayern Munich a run for the money. I think they've beaten them this season. You know, they clearly are very good, and I think obviously the two goals that we get are, you know, do come from Leipzig mistakes. We work very hard to force those errors, but I think they'll come into this game and really be, I think they'll be a different outfit. And Man United saw that, by the way, in December in the group stage, because Man United whacked them 5-0 at home, and then within half an hour away at Leipzig could have been 3-0 down. They had a third goal ruled out for offside, but they were 2-0 down in 20 minutes. Yeah. So that's what we've got to look out for.
Yeah, that's exactly it, isn't it? Liverpool can't afford to be to not turn up and be 100% on it in this one. And we'll talk a little bit about personnel-wise and what Liverpool do to do that. But we're going to take a very short break before we do. I've got a trivia question to keep you tied over. We played Leverkusen in the round of 16 in 2005. Of course we did. Which former Liverpool forward was in their squad for both of those legs?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Right, yes, the Liverpool Atletico doc, Ben's done a lot of work on that. We're going to talk about it in 2 seconds, but we'll do the trivia answer first. He would go on to play for Liverpool, the player, for a Leverkusen player who would go on to sign for Liverpool. Forward, any guesses?
Absolutely no idea.
Is it Voronin?
It is Andre Voronin. Ooh. Well done, shout, Sam Walker.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Box of knowledge.
Dimitar Berbatov was in that team as well. Yeah,
mad.
Yeah, that was mad. That's, I always remember that because that was the Leverkusen games in particular was when I was living in Sheffield for uni and I stayed on for a year afterwards because I so catastrophically cocked my degree up and wanted to hide and work for a bit. But I was kind of like Liverpool was so good in the we were dreadful in the league, but we were good in the Champions League, and I was inspired to move back in the week between those two legs. So it's been 16 years since I moved back home, which is, feels like yesterday, but that's a bloody long time. Yeah, so there you go. Right, Ben, well, I've got you. Liverpool Atletico, 1 year on, new documentary. You've been putting a lot of time and effort into this over the last couple of months.
Yes. So obviously this week is the 1 year anniversary of Liverpool versus Atletico, the second leg, as the corresponding fixtures to this, really. For people who maybe aren't watching in the UK or, you know, haven't got a complete awareness of this COVID situation in the UK, it's very much sort of accepted now that game going ahead at that time caused a spike in deaths and cases in Liverpool in the city, and really at the time, concern was growing and alarm was growing about the COVID situation in Madrid, and there was a little bit of a question mark over whether or not the Madrid fans should have been allowed to travel, but they were allowed to, and they came over here, and ultimately, you know, looking back now with hindsight, and that's the key word with this, hindsight is a wonderful thing, but looking back, it definitely shouldn't have gone ahead, or at least the fans, you know, shouldn't have been allowed to travel. So I went back, I spoke to journalists in this country, in Spain, I spoke to Liverpool fans who were at the game, but probably most importantly, I spoke to two members of the NHS who've been working throughout this whole thing, and got some stories and some insight into what it's been like over the last 12 months working on the front line. And it's an emotional watch. Like, you know, looking at it now, like it's strong. And you know, I've enjoyed working on it. And obviously, it's over on the Redmen TV this Thursday. If you're watching before Thursday, if you're watching after the game, I don't know why you would be. But it's out now.
Yeah, it's almost like you didn't need to say that. But it's no, you're right. I've watched it too. Well impressed. And it is a bit different to a lot of what we do. You know, because obviously we've been not playing a lot on the positive nostalgia of Liverpool. We always do, because Liverpool got such a great storied history that you can call upon. And I know for some people be like, why would I want to go and watch a documentary about a game that Liverpool got knocked out of the Champions League? It isn't. It's not about that. It's definitely got bits of that, and it's actually got some unseen footage, because obviously we didn't really do a lot of coverage of that game because we tend not to do a lot of into the ground stuff when we lose football matches. So it's got a little bit of that, which is quite cool to go back to the last time there was, you know, proper full capacity Anfield crowd.
But the wider point is that isn't what that game was remembered for. Looking back now, nobody talks about the result in Liverpool. Nobody talks really about the fact that Liverpool got knocked out of the Champions League. It's the wider point of the implications of that game, the consequences of that game going forward for the city.
Yeah, and it's a really great interview. Some brilliant voices in there. Like you say, some proper, like Gillan Balague contributed to David Maddox.
David Maddox was fantastic. Yeah.
Really giving some proper professional insight into just the sporting connotations, but also again the human things and the knock-on impact, and again how that's changed Liverpool both as a city and as a football club that follows on. So yeah, as Ben says, that's streaming from Thursday on the RedmenTV.com. You can sign up now and get involved with that. We've also got a brand new series that started last Friday, which is Cop Chronicles, which is a little bit more lighthearted and a little bit more of a happy, comfortable, nostalgic look at some of the greatest players ever to play for Liverpool. Episode 3 of that is streaming from Friday as well, so get involved. Right, yes, Callum, Fabinho, midfield, yes?
Yeah. Where do I sign up, Paul? yeah, 1,000 times, yes.
Yeah, over that shadow of a doubt. It's for all the things we've mentioned. I mean, the only caveat to all this, of course, is it's, you know, they're a good team, Leipzig. I don't know. They've been able to rotate the forward line, which is obviously going to be a little bit of an issue. They went with a sort of... how to describe it. It wasn't a sort of traditional front line when we played them last time around. They played Sorloth and Poulsen at the weekend, which I can't imagine them doing against us. In fact, I would be more comfortable in a world where we might have. It's certain to be Nat Phillips, I would imagine, and then it's a question of who else is fit. And if you could guarantee me that it was Poulsen and Sorloth, I wouldn't be too bothered who we put at centre half. Not because they're not good players, but I think their physical presences. That you know, for you, if Fabinho playing in midfield means we're left with Nat Phillips and Reece Williams as our centre back pairing, is it still a yes to Fabinho in midfield?
I feel like you sucker punched me there, Paul.
You've already signed the contract, Sam.
So you don't read the small print, isn't it? do you know what? I would. And I know it might come back to bite us in the backside, but I think if you have Fabinho in there, one thing that we're missing at the moment is someone to dominate the midfield. And without Henderson in there, we are lacking the personnel to do that. And again, I just want to make this clear. I do not want any of our players to go and deliberately injure a player, but that having that bite in midfield, and even if you need to take a yellow card by pulling someone's shirt, Fabinho knows how to do that. And we can't be too nice, especially in midfield against these top teams. You have to rough them up a little bit. You have to do what you have to do to navigate your way through the game. And I think Fabinho is one of the best at doing that. The fact that he's never been sent off says it all, and he plays a defensive midfielder role, so he knows when to push the boundaries and when not to, and he'd be key in that midfield area for us.
What about for you, Sam? Same.
I'm really torn because I thought against Leipzig, because of the reasons I said before, the type of football was different. I felt that we were comfortable in the game. We actually had a couple of chances first half anyway. I felt that Wijnaldum, Jones and Thiago were comfortable as a three in there, and I feel like just switching Fabinho for Henderson and that 11, I don't see a problem with that. I also think it just protects the back line a little bit longer, and then we can use the league games, if we do get through, to build the quarterfinals, to build a partnership of Quebec and Phillips or whoever it may be, and bringing Fabinho back into midfield from the next league game and the training sessions that are going to take place over the international break. So I think I'd be tempted to go safety first. You can always change it. But I'd be tempted to stick Fabinho in there because we're 2-0 up, if that makes sense. Because I wouldn't have Reece Williams anywhere near the starting 11, to be honest. Not against him, he's just not ready.
Yeah. I said before, nothing's really working at the moment. So there's no real like, oh, well, this is definitely the answer to this problem, is it, Ben? But this is where you're praying that our 20-year-old, largely untried centre-half, Ozan Kabak, comes back for this, because at least he's been okay in that regard. I'd feel a bit more relaxed if it was Kabak and Phillips. I had no expectations on Davies. Again, he's a myth, so I wasn't even I'm not even waiting for a conversation at this point.
I disagree. I'd put Fabinho in at centre-back. There's too much to lose. I agree with Sam. Reece Williams just shouldn't be anywhere near the team. And again, it's nothing against him. But if we put Fabinho in midfield here, and then you've got those two lads at centre back, and we go out here, then the season's done. Mm. So for me, you've got to get through this tie. You can start fanning about with that later on. Like eventually, whether we like it or not, now league games are going to start to lose relevance in this season. So you can start fighting about with the centre back situation there and trying different combinations. Because we've not tried enough this season already.
I'm not sure.
For right now, this is the biggest game of the season, right? In the context of right now and everything that's coming out, and it feels like we say that every time, but this is everything that this season is right now. And if we go out here, then it's an absolute disaster. So just put Fabinho at centre back, shit our way through the fucking round of 16, and then see what goes on between now and the end of the season. Just don't mess about.
You know, it's a strong point one way or the other. To be honest, I could happily make a case for either. To be frank, and we've been making this case for weeks and weeks now that there's something to, if you've got, and we don't know where Firmino's at. Of course, he'll be a doubt until he's proven otherwise, because obviously haven't missed a game at the weekend. But if you can get your best front three on, and even if you had to just put Mane, Salah, and Jota up front. You know, that's our best possible front three with no Firmino. People might argue it's our best three with Firmino. If you're then putting a midfield out that's got Fabinho, Thiago, and Wijnaldum, I think you're then occupying, even if you're occupying six of their team, going, oh God, like, they've all got to be on their absolute best to be able to handle that. If you're putting your best two fullbacks on the pitch as well, it's the eternal argument of, do you spread your quality out so you have a general overall lowering, or do you just cope with having a 5 or 6 level defence, but you've got a 10 out of 10 in every other area of the pitch? You're right. If this game was tighter, maybe we would do with that. I agree. I think Klopp will think the same. I think they will go, let's put our best defence possible out on the pitch. But it does make me wonder, if Kabak's fit, does he think that Kabak and Nat Phillips are good enough?
That's a different story, I think. If Kabak's fit, then I am more tempted by the Kabak and Phillips option. I still don't know if Phillips is Champions League level, but I don't know. I've not seen anything in Nat Phillips yet to tell me otherwise. Mm-hmm. Every single time he plays, he comes on, he does really well. Yeah. So, like, I feel like all of us come on here and go, oh, Nat Phillips, just, you know, it is what it is. But, like, every time Nat Phillips plays, he doesn't do anything wrong.
You can have worse than Nat Phillips in a game where your back's to the wall and you're just heading stuff out and you're booting stuff clear and you can do this and that. Now, is there a case that, do you keep him in reserve for that and you start Fabinho, and then maybe you change it up as the game goes on, so your last 20 minutes, if you just need an extra lad to go in and boom some headers away, because that's what they'll do. You know, they probably won't start with Poulsen and Soloff, but if the game doesn't go their way, they will bring them on and they will look to try and, you know, and to try and bombard us or whatever. We've seen teams try to do that a lot, you know, over the years. Ajax did exactly the same thing as well, didn't he? And it's a tough one. Again, this comes down to me, this is where the manager earns the big bucks, and this is where the players who get chosen, regardless, have got to step up, because it's all well and good, you know, saying we'll put Fabinho back in midfield, but I want Thiago needs to be better. Fabinho needs to make sure that he comes in and picks up at a level that we expect from him in the midfield. Is Genie Wijnaldum, does Genie Wijnaldum have enough in the tank to go again? Yes, obviously he does, because it's Genie Wijnaldum. But, you know, I wouldn't be against a random one, and I don't think we'll do this because Keita, I don't think he plays two games back to back, but I wouldn't be against Fabinho, Thiago, Keita as a midfield and just going, just deal with that. You know what I mean?
In general, like, going forward, that could end up being, you know, one of our first choice midfield, so it would be nice to see that. I just don't think that he rolls the dice too much on this game, to be honest.
But that comes with its own set of problems. It's kind of like that world where, you know, you're favouring yourself. It's almost like the negative connotations behind that approach. It's like saying, well, we're expecting to struggle. You know what I mean? Sometimes there is a better mentality at this issue where you go, no, we're just gonna, you know, again, we're just gonna do nothing but arm days, you know, and go and flex our biceps here rather than worrying about our spindly little legs.
I'll be honest, you mentioning Fabinho, Keita, and Thiago in midfield is you're gonna shut your channel down because it's before Watershed, Paul.
Not suitable for most advertisers. Yeah.
I'll be honest, that's the midfield I'd go for. I know it's a risk because they are, well, especially Thiago and Keita, they're very forward thinking players. But at the same time, I'm at a point now, and I know this is a massive risk to do it in this game, but I'm at a point now where I'm like, we've got to sort of go for it against these teams. I don't think we've got the personnel to sit and soak up pressure and then hit teams on the break anymore. I don't think we do. I think we have to meet teams in the middle and say, look, we'll have it today. We're going to really go for it. And if it's a point where we get another goal and we go 3-0 up, then we can sort of sit back. But I think by having Thiago and Keita there, they can literally transition our attacking play a lot quicker and get the ball to the front three, whoever they may be, quicker, which puts their team on the back foot. So I would go for that. Hopefully Kabak is fit, but that midfield three for me has that balance. And you can even switch around and play a double pivot. You can have Keita next to Fabinho sitting in and then have Thiago as a 10. You could even swap them two around and have Thiago double pivot and then
Keita. I'm desperate. Thiago Fabinho as a double pivot is like That's the thing that's your big potential win there. And then you get to choose, because if you've got, let's be honest, Ben, if you've got, if Firmino's back, that gives you an option to play a front four. I'm not bothered if you let Curtis Jones off the leash, which I think Curtis Jones will play this game, but it certainly gives you a few more options.
I think it's really funny how whether people agree, but like my mentality as the Champions League goes on really shifts. So when you're in the group stage, you're like, right, well, let's just get through. In the first phase of the group stage, the first three games, like, right, let's just stack the points, try and get ourselves through. And then, you know, you might have one, maybe two games left over the end to fanny about with. But as the Champions League goes on in the later stages, I'd rather do our experimenting in the first leg. So exactly what you're talking about there, I'd rather just get through this. And then whoever we draw, I'm not particularly bothered, because I've now got no expectations on us to win this competition at all. But I'd then rather start experimenting, even if we draw by Munich, let's do something mad in the first leg, see where we are, and then get to the second leg and see what I mean. Right now, I don't think this is the game for doing what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. I think the priority is here that we get through this, especially with a 2-goal lead. And maybe if we were goal down here or whatever, then that what comes into it. But I'd rather go into a Champions League quarterfinal first leg and just do something mad and see, throw shit at a wall and see what sticks. You know what I mean? I don't think this is the game for 4-2-3-1 for playing a front four.
Honest answer with all this is we've had less of an idea than ever, because nothing we've tried has looked particularly convincing. We had a couple of games where we played a bit more of a diamond or whatever away from home, Spurs, West Ham, and looked okay. You know, we did something a bit different at the weekend against Fulham. You know, Salah was a bit more central. Shaqiri was a bit more tucked in, not necessarily a right winger, and it had a little bit of, but it looked okay, but then never really came off. What we don't know, because we're saying as though like playing Fabinho at the back means we're playing a proper defence. We're still not. Fabinho's still not a great defender. He's still responsible for goals that we've conceded because he's not been properly switched on. I mean, like, he lets Mason Mount just walk past him for the goal against Chelsea. There's no, unfortunately, right now, like, we don't have a best 11 at the moment, and that's kind of where we're at. And also, even if we did, there's no guarantee that those 11 would actually be fit by the time the game rolled around anyway. So that's a fascinating one. Big challenge for the manager, because I like the notion of just attacking the problem, because I think if we go, we're going to put our eggs in the defending a 2-goal lead. That's a very dangerous mindset for this team. That's so, you know, we don't concede lots of goals, but we're also not very good. But maybe this is a game where we actually go, oh shit, look at what everyone's been doing to us. Why don't we play like that? Mm. Why don't we just pack the defence, get everyone back, and just have a couple of fast lads who we just smash the ball long to? Yeah. It's actually not far off what we did in the first leg.
Yeah, I thought that was sort of, for long periods, that was our tactics against Fulham. I mean, we played Salah central. And there were a lot of long balls, just hoping that Salah would get onto the end of it. I don't particularly like it. Mm. But maybe at the moment when you're, you know, Liverpool need to find a way to just stop losing games.
What we need.
And maybe that's just the way that we need to do.
We need Atalanta away again, don't we? However, the friggin' hell we engineered that. And I don't even remember how we managed to score that many goals in a football match, by the way.
Diogo Jota was the answer.
Yeah, Diogo Jota. Just make Diogo Jota, whatever the question is, make him the answer. Right, sound. Callum, what do you think the score is going to be?
Do you want my honest answer or my...
Well, as you see it, Callum.
Shall I be honest with you? I hate to even say that. I see us losing the game.
Okay. 1-0, fine.
No, I don't.
losing the tie.
Wow.
I do, yeah. I see us losing 3-1 on the night.
Oh, That'd be fine, wouldn't it?
No, because they're good. Have three away. They don't have three away goals.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it's all the
worst thing in the world.
I'm so sorry.
The way this game will go should go, Sam, because of how horrendous the season has gone, is for Liverpool to get knocked out on away goals in a fucking game where we've played at the neutral venues. Go on, shaking your head. Come on, we're nearly there. We're nearly done.
Absolute bizarrety of the fact that you can go out on away goals playing the same stadium twice. It's fucking stupid. Yeah. Or if let's say we lose 2-0, what happens then? Do we then suffer the away goal rule in extra time, even though, oh, mate, it's just absolutely nuts. But I think on the night, I actually wasn't impressed with Red Bull. I don't think they're that good. I think they play well in Germany because they play against open, expansive teams who are worse than them as well. The style of football is totally different. I think it fits us. I think we'll score goals. I think we'll win the game 2-1. I think Red Bull won't have enough to rip us open. I think once it gets to 20 minutes and it's still 2-0 to us, what can they do but panic? Genuinely, I think we'll win the game because of the 2-0 lead. It's going to get to them at some point, and they're going to start to do things that they, like we've been doing recently, that they shouldn't really be doing. And I think that's why we win the game.
Okay.
I think we're going to lose 2-1, but I don't think it'll be that nervy. I think we'll like go 1-0 up, and then they might get a goal, and then we'll get you know what I mean? Like I think we'll end up going through all right. But yeah, I don't think we'll win the game. But like, this is the kind of thing, like, any draw takes us through, and that's what we've got to remember. Literally any draw takes us through. So yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is. It's a good point, isn't it? And just for, obviously, by the way, I'm just gonna protect us against the YouTube comments here. Of course, Sam doesn't mean Red Bull; he means Rass and Ball Sport.
all the energy drinks are available.
Yeah. In no way, shape, or form is that defo not Red Bull. I know. I can see this being a real
slog.
Yeah, I think back to some of those games where we've gotten through in the past where, you know, like Adegu Johnson missing the far post by like 2 inches and it going through bodies. I could see, I think we'll go through, but I could see it being like a real last 5 minutes where we are like embedding our fingernails into the couch or legs or whatever's nearby, you know, just to see us get through here. So yeah, I mean, look, bear in mind though, we live in hope. You know, I thought this about a lot of last 16 games over the last few years, and we've just turned up and been absolutely brilliant. So let's just have a bit of that. Or let's continue at the same level of luck that we had in the first leg. That would be nice as well. Because I don't think referees hate us as much in Europe as they quite clearly do in the Premier League. God, but we'll see.
That's a big bold statement to say before this game. Bloody hell.
We will see on that. Let us know your score predictions. I'll be doing the starting 11 prediction this week as well, so tune in for that. And yeah, do go and check out Liverpool vs. Let's Go 1 year on. Again, a bit different, a bit more depth and emotional resonance to a lot of the stuff we do. So if you like really getting stuck into a good old documentary with a lot of insight and a lot of emotions, then yeah, go and check it out from Thursday on the RedmanTV.com. Yes, of course, in the meantime, do make sure you keep up with what Callum's doing over with Team Coppish. And Tam Walker will doubtless get you back in. I can't wait to see what direction your hair goes in the
tomorrow, tomorrow. I can't remember what show we're doing. I'm in tomorrow, so... might cut it tonight, just to surprise you.
That's sad. Yeah, thank you so much, gents, for joining us. Thank you, Ben, as well. You guys are amazing. Thank you for sticking with us for this. I know it'd be very easy to bury your heads in the sand, but we're going to be here. We're here for us, and we're here for you guys as well, regardless. So, yeah, we'll be back with a watch along for the game on Wednesday night. Hope to see you there. Ta-ra.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.